Any student who wants to get federal aid for college, and that includes not just the Pell Grants, but also student loans, needs to fill out the FAFSA. And it's a detailed and lengthy questionnaire about a student's finances. If the student is under 24, that includes the finances of their parent. All told, there's more than 100 questions on the FAFSA. It's a bit longer than a 1040 and a lot longer than the 1040A or EZ, which is what most low-income people in the U.S. fill out.
Now, in the article you wrote for the New York Times here recently, Susan, you talked about eliminating the FAFSA. Why do you think that would be a good idea?
Just about all the information that's contained in the FAFSA, the federal government already has. The process of filling out the FAFSA is largely one of transcribing information from tax forms, for example, over into the FAFSA. So one approach is to basically make the 1040 the application. Let the IRS take that information and calculate what eligibility for aid would be. This would save parents and students a lot of headache, and the evidence is that it would increase the college attendance, especially of low-income people who appear to find the application a barrier.
Yeah, you mentioned that right there, that it can be a barrier for those with low incomes. Why exactly can it be so difficult for people without much means to fill out forms like this?
It's probably not the income itself, but what goes with it. Many low-income people, they are first-generation college students. Their parents didn't go to college, so they've never filled out the FAFSA. They may not speak English as a first language. An important thing to remember here is that the student, the child, can't complete the FAFSA themselves. It requires the Social Security number, the wage information, the income tax information of the parent. So if the parent is unwilling or unable to fill out the form, that's going to hold the kid back as well. So I would say it's a mix of they haven't learned by doing because they haven't gone to college themselves. There's language barriers. And then there's the fact that for many low-income families, life is just extremely complicated. One parent might be absent, unwilling to cooperate. People may have been in multiple low-paying jobs, and all of this makes life actually pretty complicated.
I noticed in the article you mentioned that there is some legislation to simplify the FAFSA. Now, what would that legislation do exactly?
So Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, and Michael Bennett, Democrat of Colorado, have proposed cutting the application down to two questions, which are about family size and income, which, by the way, both of those pieces of information are in the tax data, and use that to calculate eligibility. I have done work with colleagues, Judith Scott Clayton at Columbia and Mark Wiederspahn at Arizona State University, showing that those particular variables explain over 70 or 80% of the variation in eligibility for the Pell Grant. So you can get pretty darn close to what we currently get with 100 questions using just a couple.
But you still think that that's not quite good enough, right?
My preference would be to get rid of the forum altogether. What we found in the past is that each time Congress shortens the form, it then lengthens again.
In reading through, there was something the New York Times published to kind of follow up to your column, a little bit of give and take with some of the readers. And I noticed one of the common refrains there was, well, if you can't fill out the FAFSA, then maybe you don't even need to or deserve to go to college. I'm curious what your response is to that line of thinking.
So the ability to fill out complicated financial paperwork is not usually what we use as a gauge of somebody's ability to go to college. I would say the best measure of that is whether they've done well in school and worked hard in their schoolwork. So that's the first point. And the second is it's the parents who have to fill out the FAFSA. And I sure don't want to be keeping kids out of college whose parents, because of language barriers or fear of government, are unwilling to fill out the financial aid form for them.
Overall, Susan, what kind of feedback have you gotten from this column?
It's been quite positive. People, especially when they learn that all of this information is already contained in federal databases, think it's a no-brainer. You know, why haven't we done this already? And, you know, the answer is pretty much politics. You know, even if an idea is one that's got across-the-aisle support in Congress, which is exceedingly rare, it can take a while for things to get done. So I've got hopes, as do many others, that this is the moment when this is going to happen.
Susan Donarski, professor of education, public policy, and economics at the University of Michigan, advocating for the elimination of FAFSA. Susan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.